And Barry, you forgot to do the most notable thing you have to do for long-winded preachers. You have to tell me what time I quit. You know, and so I might be in 5 minutes. It's a joy to be here this morning. I don't know about you, but it's great to be alive. And it's great to be here this morning. And it's my prayer that what I prepared to share with you from God's word will encourage you. It's been a long time since I've been here, and I can't remember. Age catches up with you. But I can't remember, some time ago I was invited to speak here, and I can't remember what I spoke on. But if I can't remember, that means you can't remember. So it doesn't matter. But it's great. It's great to be back here. I spoke at the evangelism program on last year, and so I do remember that. Family matters is what the theme has been assigned to me. And what I want to do, and I hope that what I'm going to share with you will be an encouragement. If you have your copy of God's word, turn to Luke. The chapter is 22, and you can wait on me at verse 31. A passage that is familiar to you, and so hopefully I can say something that will help you. But I want to leave you with a thought, and I don't want you to forget this thought. If you forget everything else that I'm going to say, I want you to remember this thought, and that is, Satan wants you. Satan wants you. I've been in the church now for 45 years. And in my 45 years, I've seen some wonderful things that have occurred in God's kingdom. But the last 10 years have been the most challenging, particularly among our young people. And this morning, in the Bible class, I want to talk about some parenting tips. It's really not talking about parenting, but it's what we can do as parents to prepare our children for Satan. Satan wants you, in particular this morning, Satan wants our children. Satan wants our children. I've been blessed and thankful to God that my three sons, they're young men. And it was a challenge to try to raise them. They were good young men. And they're faithful and good young men. But I'm thankful there were things that my parents and my grandparents instilled in me that I passed on to them. And God has blessed me with two beautiful grandchildren. I'll be sure to share your pictures later on if you want them. If I had known grandparenting was as joyful as it is, I would have skipped the children, just went right to the grandparents. I'm enjoying being a grandpawpaw. The greatest pawpaw in the world is right before you. At least that's what they tell me. But in Luke chapter 22, you're familiar with the text where Jesus comes to Simon. And he says, Simon, I want to tell you something. Satan wants you. Satan wants to turn your world upside down. And then he tells him, when you are restored, strengthen the brethren. Satan, you're going to fall. I mean, Peter, you're going to fall. Satan is going to come after you. And you're going to fall. What can we do? Knowing that Satan is after our children, what can we do? And what I want to do is to share with you some things that we can do to help our children to remain faithful to God. Brother Yakeley, several years ago, published a book. And in that book, he says 55% of our young people are quitting the church. 55% of them are quitting the church between the ages of 18 and 35. What can we do? What can we do? Why are you still in the church? What did your parents and what did your grandparents do that has empowered you to stay in the Lord's church? I believe that there are certain things that our parents and our grandparents did that made a difference in our lives. And we need to make sure that we make a difference in the lives of our children. And so this morning, I want to share with you what we can do from my perspective to keep our children faithful to God. Now turn to me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 15. And Luke chapter 15, again, another text you're familiar with. It's about a father and a son. And one day this son came to his dad and said, "Dad, I'm just getting tired of you telling me what to do." And this son left home. But when he left home, thank God his parents did something. They instilled something in him. And when he got out there, he made some wrong decisions. And our children will make wrong decisions in this life. None of us, I made wrong decisions in my life as a teenager. But there were certain things that my parents instilled in me that after making wrong decisions, I came back home. This prodigal son deviated from what his parents wanted him to do, got out there, you know the story, and wasted his life in riotous living. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 is a key verse because it says in verse 17, after he had done all of these things, one day he came to himself. I want you to remember that because that's what makes the difference. He came to himself. What did he come to? I used the New King James. I'm a King James man, but I used the New King James. The NIV adds something here that I like in their translation. He came to his senses, is what the NIV says. What did he come to? What senses did he come to? And that's what I want to share with you. Because I believe before we let our children leave home, we got to give them some sense. And I believe there's seven senses. I've got many, but I'm going to share with you very quickly seven. Seven is complete. Before you allow your children and grandchildren to leave home, there are at least seven senses that you need to instill in them. There are seven things that they need to know. And when they get out there and they engage in this world and Satan is coming after them and they're going to make wrong decisions, they're going to do things that's not pleasing to God because none of us can live perfect. But what's going to make the difference? That when we get out there and when they get out there and do things, that they're going to come back to God and remember to serve God. This boy went out there and made mistakes. But in the midst of all that, one day, he came to his senses. What did his parents put in him? I was born in a little bitty town, perhaps you never heard of, Houston, Mississippi. In a little wooden shack with an outdoors toilet. We could see the chickens under, little chicken and things running under the house. Very humble beginning. But I tell you, I'll take nothing for that. Amen. You know why? Because my parents and my grandparents taught me something. They taught me how to love God. And that has made all the difference in my life. They taught me about God. And even though I wasn't a perfect, and I did things in my teenage years, I never lost my passion to want to serve God and please God. And I'm thankful that my parents and my grandparents put that in me. And raising three boys and Peyton, best friend with Jared, but he knows all three of my boys. The best thing I could have given them is not a house, not material things. The best thing as a parent that I've tried to pass on to them is a love for God. It's a love for God. That's what's important. And I'm thankful my three boys are still in the church and they're still serving God. If you know anything about Madison County, they've just hired a new superintendent. That's my oldest son. He's the superintendent of Madison County. Then I've got a middle son who's a coach in Nashville, Tennessee. And then Will, the youngest one, he works in Jackson. But these are three good boys. What have we passed on to them that have been the difference? And I want to share with you seven things very quickly. seven senses that our children need if they're going to remain faithful to God. The first one, sense, is they need a sense of God. Amen? Amen. Our children need to know who God is. God is under attack in America. I never thought I would ever live in America where God would be minimized and God would be as devalued as God is today. What our children need, they need to know Jehovah. Amen? Amen. That's not the job of the school. That's not the job of the government. That's the job of parents. If my boys are going to know God, and they do, it's because that was my job as a daddy, as a leader, to make sure that they knew God and that God was living in me. My job is, what kind of dad are you? What are you trying to pass on to your children? What are you passing on to your children? They need to have a sense of God. In order to have a sense of God, there are three things that you need. First, you need to know who God is. Who is God? In Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 12, Isaiah tells them who God is. God is the one that created the universe. God is the one who made man. God is the one who spoke and nothing became something. That's who God is. Amen? Amen. Man didn't come from a monkey. God spoke and man came and he created man. But God spoke and this universe came into existence. Who is God? Ephesians 3 verse 20. God is able in this life to do abundantly above whatever we can imagine or dream. We serve a God who is able. If you want to remember one thing about God, go to Genesis chapter 17 verse 1. In Genesis 17 verse 1, God tells Abram who he is. He says, I'm God Almighty. You know what that means? I'm El Shaddai. I'm El Shaddai, Sammy. There's absolutely nothing I can't do, Sammy. There's nothing I can't do. Genesis 18 verse 14. When God tells Abraham he's going to have a child, Sarah laughs. And God says to Abram, is there anything too hard for El Shaddai? Our children need to know that we serve a God who is able to do everything. The second thing they need to know, what God requires of them. God requires me to come out of this world. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Come out from among them, Sammy. Be ye separated, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Our children need to have a sense of God. That means you know who God is, and you know what God requires of me. Years ago, I heard John D. Berry speak of the lectureship of Fried Hartman. And he said something about something that I have never forgotten, a description of what God expects of us in this world. He says, Christians in this world is like a boat in water. There's nothing wrong with a boat being in water, and there's nothing wrong with Christians being in the world. But there's something wrong when water gets into the boat, and there's something wrong when the world gets in the Christian. There's nothing wrong with us being in this world. Our job is to keep the world out of us. Just like there's nothing wrong with a boat being in water, but there's something wrong when water gets into the boat. And our job is to teach our children who God is. And God says, Sammy, keep the water out of your boat. Keep the world out of my life. This world is not the home. And that's why I tried to teach my boys who were very athletic. Before we had multiple services in many churches in Chester County, we went to church on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. My boys were very athletic. They played Little League Baseball. But guess where we were on Wednesday night? We didn't play ball. We went to church. Little League traveling basketball, travel all over. My boys realized they were taught, and there were times they didn't like it. But that oldest son, Eric, says, Dad, thank you. Thank you for teaching me to love God and to put God first. That's what our children need to understand. That this world is not our home. But then the third thing is, not enough to know who God is and what God requires. They need to have a passion to want to please God. You You see, without that passion, it does no good to know who God is and what God requires. You got to have a passion. I want to please God. I want to let God know I love him. Let me show you the word. Go to Genesis chapter 39. There's a boy who had been taught something before he was sold into slavery. His name is Joseph. You know him. Verse 9 of Genesis chapter 39. Here's the million-dollar question. Why didn't Joseph sleep with Potiphar's wife? He tells us why. My daddy taught me different. My daddy taught me that a man doesn't sleep with another man's wife. I know God, I know Jehovah, and Jehovah expects me not to do that. And he said, I can't commit this sin against God. Even though I'm down here in slavery, I love God too much, I can't do it. Not that Joseph didn't want to do it, he said, I can't do it. You see, when you have a sense of who God is, and I'm thankful as a teenager that I was given that by my parents, a sense of God. There were things I wanted to do in my teenage years. Yes, I wanted to drink. Yes, I wanted to smoke. But I didn't do those things because I wanted to please God. But number two, I didn't want to hurt my grandmother. I didn't want to hurt Naomi. Naomi often said, Sammy, you're going to be something one day. You're going to be the greatest preacher. And I believe in you, Sammy. I didn't want to hurt Naomi. She's gone and been gone many years. You see, you got to have a passion. What is your passion for God? What is your passion? Peter, Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me, Peter. But you want to see Peter's passion? In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12 and 13, Peter says, after 30 years, he says, Sammy, you know why? After I had my encounter with Satan, why I remained faithful? He said, because I want to serve God. I want to please God. And as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to do everything I can to encourage my family and the church in Asia Minor. I'm going to encourage those saints to keep on serving God. Peter developed a sense of God. The second sense, they need a sense of Christ. They need to know who Christ is. How well do you know Christ? I'm thankful that I have a relationship with Christ. Young people, do you have a relationship with Christ? You see, it's wonderful to come to church. Please don't stop. But if you're going to remain faithful to God, knowing that this beast is going to come after you, Satan doesn't care about you. Satan wants to destroy this church. And one way to do it is to get our young people. If they don't know Christ and they don't know God, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. What do they need to know about Jesus? Go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, I want a personal relationship with you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. The Lord wants a relationship with each one of you. Because he knows what you're going to be going through in your teenage years. He knows how you're going to be torn in this world. That there are times you want to serve God, and then there's times you want to fit in. He wants a relationship with you, and so he says, come and talk to me. In the wee hours when you're under peer pressure and you need somebody, you can talk to the Lord. He will always listen to you. When mom and dad don't understand, Jesus understands, because there's no temptation that's taken a man. There's no temptation that you young people can go through that Jesus hadn't experienced. He knows. He understands what teenagers are going through. He understands what middle-aged people, he understands what we're going through. And he says, I want a relationship, but you got to come know me. Go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. I love these two passages. You know what those two verses says about for me? Right now, at the age I'm in, I'm 60, almost 61 years old, will be in a few days. 61. But the Lord is saying, after I've been in the church now for 40-some years, he's standing on the right-hand side of God, and he says, Sammy, I'm pulling for you to keep faithful. Sammy, I want you to know I'm pulling for you. He's making intercessions for me. You've gone through through some things. You're going to go through some things, but I'm believing you, Sammy. You're not going to leave me after serving me some 40-some years. You're not going to leave me, Sammy. I believe in you, Sammy. That's what he wants you to know. He's never going to abandon you. He'll never walk away from you. He wants a relationship with you. You've got a friend in Jesus. Don't ever forget that. But you got to have a sense of who Christ is. He's someone standing at the right hand of God. He's our advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. God, please forgive Sammy. He made a mistake again. And I did. And I have. And I will. That's the kind of Savior we have. He's always up in heaven saying, God, let's help Sammy. He wants to make it to heaven. You see, that goes back to that sense of God. I want to go to heaven more than anything in this world. I don't want to be remembered as a preacher or a teacher at Freed Hardeman. I want to be remembered as a man who wants to go to heaven. That's what's important to me. What's important to you? Jesus is in heaven pulling for me. I have a friend. I'm never alone. Third, it's not enough to have a sense of God. It's not enough to have a sense of Christ. Number three, and this is a sad one here. If I had to say one thing that's sad, go to Judges chapter 2. In my opinion, this is one of the saddest, top 10 saddest verses in all the Bible. The third sense you need is a sense of the Bible. You need to know this book. There was a time we were known as people who knew the book. But those days are gone. There was a time in America. America was known as a country that knew the book. But that day is gone. God has chosen this book to reveal himself to us. Yes, I know in other ways he reveals. But this is the most intimate way God has chosen to reveal himself to us. How can we say we love God and we don't spend time with this book? How can we say we love God? David, oh, I love him. Psalms 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love the Lord. And I meditate upon his word day and night. Day and night. But look in Judges 2. Before I tell you the verse, you perhaps already know. Verse number 8, it says in verse 7, that all the days of Joshua, the people of Israel, after 110 years that he served, the people served God. But after Joshua died, and all the elders that grew up with Joshua, they all died. Verse 10 is the verse. There arose a generation that what? Didn't know God. Are we about to embark upon that in America? Are we about to raise a generation in America that doesn't know this book? I'm not here to belittle, but I'm worried. Because when you don't know this book, it's difficult to stand on the truth. When you don't know this book, it's easy to compromise. It's easy to say, well, we just let anything go. Because they lost their sense of who God is, and they didn't know God, go to the last verse in the book of Judges. Judges 21, look at verse 25. And see if you don't see America. Because we don't have a sense of this book. The middle part of that verse, it says this. Judges 21, verse 25. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. I love this country. I love God more. What has made America one of the most beautiful countries, the greatest country in the world, is that we have built our lives on the principle that God is God. But we have a nation that have forgotten God. Because we don't have a sense of the book. And we're not embarking that upon our children. We're not encouraging them to get to know God. And that reason, there are many of them that know of this book, but they don't know the God of this book. They don't know Jehovah Jireh. They don't know Jehovah Jireh. That's mentioned in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. They don't know Jehovah Jireh. They don't know him. I'm thankful that my parents taught me about Jehovah Jireh. And I'll tell you what that means later on. But why do they need a sense of this book here? Why? Because God has chosen to reveal himself. Go to 2 Timothy. You read this verse many times. But I don't want you to forget 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Because we're going to quote 16 and 17, but look at verse 15. What made Timotheus such a beautiful young man? What made Timothy such a great man? Paul says, from a child you've known what? The Holy Scriptures. And from a child, Lois and Eunice made sure that he knew the Old Testament. He knew the Word. He knew not just being able to quote verses. He knew the author of the book. That's what. This is God's letter to me. This is God revealing how much he wants me in heaven. This is why God wants a relationship with me. You don't realize the importance of a book. And I say this, and Diane and I know about this. 3 years ago, I was hit, slapped in the face. I was in a meeting in Washington, D.C. My deceased former wife, Rhonda, was with me. We decided to drive. And there, little did I know, be my last time with her on a meeting. Last thing, didn't have no idea that that was going to occur. We were talking about, man, you know, it's time for me to leave Fried Hartman. It's time for me to do my dream, and that is become a full-time preacher. I've never been a full-time preacher. And she said, Samuel, let's do it. And that was in April, and I was planning on getting back to campus and tell the president I was retiring in 2014. Little did I know, on the way back home, she started hurting. We thought it was her lupus. Stopped at Vanderbilt. I said, Miss Jones, your lupus is the best it's been in your 20 years. To make a long story short, 2 weeks later, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, do you want the truth? First thing he said when we walked in, didn't say hello, didn't say how you're doing, do you want the truth? Yeah. Miss Jones, you have cancer and you have 3 months to live. What empowers you to stay faithful to God? The knowledge of this book and the author of this book. Satan wants you. And as someone sitting or standing here, you're going to encounter something this year or next year. 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Are you ready? What's going to empower you to remain faithful to God? Sense of this book. Paul says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. All Scripture, every one of them, from Genesis to Revelation, is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We have God speaking to us. This is not any book. It's an inspired book. You know these verses. I'm not sharing anything you don't already know. Peter goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no part of this book is of any man's private interpretation, but holy men, inspired men, wrote as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. God let the Holy Spirit tell the writers what to write. He allowed the writers to use their unique style of writing. And that's why we have variations of styles of writing, because God allowed that uniqueness, but God wouldn't allow them to write error. We have 100% authentic book right here from God. And that's what our children need to know, that they can trust this book here. They can trust this book here. They need to know that they need to come to know this book. Nothing wrong with a smartphone, an iPad. I love them. Technology is great. But get your hard copy. You see, you can't do this to an iPad. You can't do this to a smartphone. You can't shed tears and write all over it. I have so many Bibles that I've read through from Genesis to Revelation, because I want to know my book. I want to know God, because I love him. But I have things. And I love Diane. We celebrated 1 year yesterday. 1 year anniversary yesterday. But I love Rhonda. And I have letters from her. And they're still dear to me. Words are powerful. I plead with you. God wants you in heaven. To come to know God, you got to spend some time with this book. I plead with you. If you don't start reading your Bible on a regular basis, Satan's going to get you in just a matter of time. Fourth, you need a sense of the cross. It's not enough to have a sense of God, sense of Christ. You need to go to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Look at verse 23. You want to see something? You want to see love? You want to see love? That's what the cross is. It's a demonstration of the magnitude of God's love. God says this: anyone who dies on a tree is a curse. Anyone who dies on a tree is a curse. God said that. And then God, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, said, Jesus, will you become a curse to save Sammy Jones? I want Sam in heaven, but I need you to become a curse, Sam. God, son. Do you understand what God was asking of Jesus to die on the cross? It's not just to give his life, not just to endure agony, but to become a curse. To become a curse. Now go to Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse 43 or 46. Now do you understand? When Jesus cried out these words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, Father, why have you turned your back on me? You know why? Because he had become contaminated with Sammy's sin. Even though they were in the future, God couldn't look upon Jesus, his own son, because he was contaminated. He became a curse. And God commended his love. He said, this doesn't show Sam Jones how much I love him. Nothing will. You know what keeps me serving God? It's a sense of cross. Number five, you need a sense of Satan. They need to know who Satan is. Go to Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, our children need to remember this. Satan wants them. That was a war that occurred in heaven between Michael and God's angel and Satan and his angels. One third of the heaven of angels revolted under the leadership of Satan against God. And that was a war that took place, and Satan lost. Woe, verse 9, unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down to us. Knowing he has such a short time, Satan is mad and he's upset with God. Because God removed him from heaven. He's been cast down to the bottomless pit. Verse 13. He couldn't stop the birth of the man child. So he went after the woman. Look at verse 13. Satan now is after the woman. Who's the woman? The church. Satan is wanting to destroy the church. Because if he can destroy the church and to get our children not to believe in God, the church in Savannah would die. It's just a matter of time. And Satan, if he can get in the hearts of our young people, if he can get in the hearts of people in America, young people in America, that there is no God to question, Satan has achieved what he wanted to achieve. And that's what he's trying to do. And that's why it's so important that we as parents, that we give our children. It's not the job of the government. It's not the job of the school. That's my job. And my grandchildren are going to know God. I'm just not going to leave it to my children. I'm going to be sure as a granddaddy. I'm in part of their lives making sure they know God. What are you doing? What are you doing? Naomi made sure. Naomi prayed for me. Naomi encouraged me as a grandmother. And as a grandfather, I'm going to pass that on. I want my grandchildren in heaven. And I'm not going to leave and take a chance that my son Eric is going to do that. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to encourage them, and I'm going to encourage them, and I'm going to help them. You see, that's what it takes. We need a sense of the cross. We need a sense of Satan. Satan wants our children. Look at what Peter says. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, number 8, Satan is a beast that's doing what? Seeking those whom he may devour. Let's go to number 6. It's not enough to have that. They need a sense of self. They need a sense of self. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Verse 39. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. It says it again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. There it is again. James chapter 2, verse number 8. There it is again. Why is this statement over and over and over? It's the second greatest commandment in the world. Why is it put there? You know, the first is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. And the second is this, to love thy neighbor as you love yourself. What are you saying, Jesus? I didn't realize that verse until I was in my early 20s. I got married when I was 20. And I was 25 when I really came to understand what Jesus was saying there. And I was a miserable person. You know why? Because I was unhappy. You know why? Because all I spent my time thinking about was, why was I unhappy? It was all about Sammy. It was all about Sammy. It was all about me. It was all about me. Why didn't people like me? Why this and why that? Why was I, you know, I'm 5'11 and a half. My baby brother is 6'2". My oldest brother, Billy, was 6'6". My sister is 6'1". I'm 5'11 and a half. God, why do you make me short? Had a speech impediment. Stutter. I'm short. God, why? Why did you make me this way? And I just couldn't get along with anyone else because I wasn't happy with Sammy. And then I realized what Jesus says, Sammy, before you can love other people, you got to die to self. That's what the second commandment is saying. When you die to self, you can be happy. There are a lot of people going through a lot of emotional problems in their marriage and in life because you spend all your time thinking about yourself. It doesn't matter whether you're too short, too round, too tall, too this, whatever. God loves you. Accept yourself and move on. And that's why Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, it can't be about you. That's why Matthew 16, verse 24 says that you got to die to yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. He's dying to self. People who can't serve God are people who all spend all their time thinking about themselves and why they're not this and what's going on in their life. When I died to Sammy, that's when I became a better husband. That's when I became a better husband. I'm a better husband to Diane because I learned some things. I learned that it's not about Sammy. It's about God. And next, it's about her. Whether she reciprocates it, it doesn't matter. She's my wife and I'm going to love her. You see, it's not about me. Our young people, they need to understand it's not about them. It's about God. Die to yourself. Whether people like you, it doesn't matter. God loves you. That's what matters. Oh, I wish I'd known that when I was 16 years old. Wish I'd known that when I was 18. I spent many nights crying. Why? Why, God, why? Wish I'd understood then what I understand now. Die to self. And then finally, number 7, you have a sensitive judgment. They need to know this world is coming to a judgment. I'm going to close with that. So I know Barry didn't tell me what time to quit, but I know it's getting close to that time, if not past that time. Hebrews 9:27. It once appointed all men to die, but after death, the what? The judgment. Our children need to know that one day they're going to have to face a judgment. May God bless you. But what enabled that prodigal son to remain faithful to God is that he came to his senses. May God help us to give our children some sense. They have something to come back to if they deviate from God. May God bless you.